Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you a Saturday and every Saturday. Got a great show lined up for you today. In the studio, we have Dr. Jim Sparks, Eagle Animal Hospital and Pet Resort, up here at 4825 Northwest Gateway by Riverside, Missouri. And also present, the chief inspector himself.
Hello.
Hello. I'm saying hello.
And I'm speaking of the fin.
The 22nd best fisherman in the United States, Mark Tobin.
I dropped. I didn't fish last week.
Yeah, so. I checked up on you a couple times. So when he doesn't get to fish, Jim, we got to reprimand him, and he drops in ratings on the deal. So what the heck?
Understandably.
Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do, which we generally don't do, is open up the phones. If you want to talk to a vet and you got a dog who's in need of disrepair, yeah, you might want to give us a call at 913-318-1810, and we'll pop you up just as soon as we see you in there. 913-318-1810. We only got the three listeners, so what the heck?
Well, maybe they've got a dog with a problem.
This could be.
And maybe not just a dog.
Mm-hmm. Hey, your old buddy Jim sent me, and we're going to talk fishing in a little bit, but Dr. Tom sent me a picture of a hybrid that he caught. I shared that with
you. Yeah, that was a beauty.
Wasn't that,
is that a hybrid or a striper?
That was a hybrid, I believe.
Was it?
Well, maybe it was a striper. No, I think you're right. I think it was a striper.
Yeah. I think it was. Were you down in Arkansas?
Yeah, well, he goes down to Oklahoma a lot. Know that.
Uh-oh. He should stay out of Oklahoma. Men are men, sheep are nervous down in Oklahoma. It's a bad deal, you know. So, but lake level's still higher than molasses, ain't it?
Still high. I don't know what higher than molasses would be, but they're still high. But, yeah, Milford was 27 foot high. I mean, it was over almost 30 feet high.
Milford?
Milford. It's come down.
Oh.
We're down to 24 foot high now. And, you know, this is just a sad deal on most of these Kansas lakes. A lot of these big reservoirs. Go to the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks website, and you can see whether or not there's any ramps open, because there's some of these lakes, there's still no ramps available. Tuttle Creek, good news there. It was 52 feet high. It's down to 49 feet high. 49 feet high. Perry has come down a whole foot. It's 24 feet high, though. Clinton, I don't know that there's any ramps open over there. It was 21 foot high. It's come down a whole foot this week. So down to 20 feet high. Pomona was 18 feet high 2 weeks ago. It came down two feet this week. So it's down to 16 foot. Hillsdale is down a foot. It's 9 feet high. And there are some ramps open over there. Stockton was 16 feet high last week. It's 14 feet high now. Palme de Terre is making a little headway. Was 21 foot high. It's now 18 feet high. Still lots and lots of water. Truman, there's more and more ramps becoming open. Was 26 foot high, down 3 feet this week, but still 23 feet high. But, you know, all that water, Kansas and the Kansas Lakes and Palme de Terre, Stockton, all that's got to come down through Truman. So still going to be running water for a long, long time. If there's any good news, fishing below the dam is still really good, catching a lot of catfish and a lot of big catfish. There's a lot of crappie to be had down there. Again, it can be a very social event down there on the weekends. A lot of people.
A social event.
Yeah, right. But you have to get through a lot of crappie, a lot of little ones to get a mess of keepers. But it can be done. Better with minnows than without. I know you hate to do that, but if you're struggling with just jigs, don't be afraid to use a minnow.
Yeah.
Not hearing tons of good reports on white bass anywhere. I did hear on Truman, the flooded parking lots in the early in the morning and late in the day. seeing some surfacing activity, and you could really load up on them, but they still seem to be a little scattered, more so than usual. But the crappie fishing is good. I mean, there's fish to be had, and they're catching walleye out at Truman. They're catching some walleye in Stockton. It's not fast and furious, but there are some being had, but it's just so miserably hot. You know, it's got to be heat index again over 100 today, 105 or 110, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just miserable. And unless you're fishing early and late, trying to be out there in the middle of the day, unless you've got some kind of an umbrella or something to break the heat a little bit, it's just absolutely miserable out there.
Must be a big tournament somewhere, because it seemed like every third truck passed me this morning was pulling a boat. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it is, or maybe it's just getting out there early for a couple hours in the morning and going home type thing.
Yeah, right.
And the deal. But, boy, I tell you, it's just, you know, I guess maybe there's a silver lining here.
Man, just think about all the fish that are not being caught right now.
Yeah, they're spread out so much it's hard to catch them.
Yeah, well, and there's just not very many people out on the water. The Kansas Lakes in particular, there's not very many people out there. And, you know, nobody's fishing Tuttle Creek. No, nobody. Milford, there's very few people out there. So that's a lot less pressure this year than any other year. So that's got to pay dividends for next year. It doesn't help us now, you know, when you mm-hmm. can't get out there and go fishing. But
yeah.
But, yeah, I would think. And, you know, the other thing is the spawn. Those fish that, you know, the new fry have a lot of places to hide, so the survival rate should be exceptionally good this year. So mm-hmm. it should mean some good fishing for the next several years.
Yeah, well, you know, jury's out, but I think you're right, mm-hmm. you know, on the deal. The crappie they're catching 18 feet, 20 feet, where they're at on the...
That's about right. On Truman, it's flooded willows on the main lake, and just keep moving around, and that's when your electronics really pay off. My nephew was fishing with his brother-in-law last weekend on Lake of the Ozarks, and pretty much 14 feet deep was the magic depth.
14.
But he has a live scope that they were playing with.
Oh, boy.
I'm telling you what, Fred, this live scope deal is a game changer. And I've heard there's some tournaments that are banning the live scope now.
They're that good.
There was a kid in one of these series, a 24-year-old kid, and he's handing it to some of these old season pros. And all he is doing is targeting big fish. And you can tell the size of the fish on this live scope. And you can put that lure. You see your lure very clearly where it is.
Yeah.
And but anyway, he's targeting those big fish with the live scope. And if you don't have a live scope, you can't hardly compete with them. But anyway, back to my nephew. He was down there, and he was looking for crappie and white bass. They got to where they would graph brush piles. And if they didn't see a bunch of fish, they wouldn't even stop. If there was just two or three around it, they wouldn't stop. They wasted very little time and caught a ton of fish. One of the fun things that they did, they were looking for some white bass on a flat, and they didn't see any white bass, but there was some big fish. And they pretty much knew just looking at it that it was blue cats. So they took a spoon. They were using lead spoons trying to catch white bass, and they would just dangle that spoon mm-hmm. in front of the fish's face. I mean, you could tell. That's how clear. This is live video, the live scope is. And they caught eight blue cats doing that. The smallest one was 8 pounds. Biggest one was 14 pounds.
That'll work.
But, I mean, what
that'll
a blast
work.
On a spoon. You,
yeah,
I mean,
work.
How fun. So yeah. I'm telling you, yeah, this live scope, it's something to see.
And when you see it the first time, you can't believe what you're seeing.
Yeah, right.
You just look at it, and your mouth opens up, and you go, wow.
Well, and my nephew said that, and he was like me, he's seen a lot of the videos out there, but this is the first time that he's got to experience it firsthand. And he said that your lure is way more clear than it looks like on the videos that you see on internet. Mm-hmm. But that's the cool thing. I mean, just, and he said he was just mesmerized by this thing and just couldn't take it. He never even looked up to where he was fishing, and because he just had his face glued to that
sure.
screen.
sure, exactly.
But
you know, the thing is phenomenal. I don't know. You know, they're kind of pricey, though, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the downside. And you have to have a locator to go with the live uh-huh. scope transducer. It's a black box transducer, and that feeds the information to the locator. And it's compatible with a lot of different locators, but you have to have the two. And the live scope itself is $1,500. And then you have to get a locator to go on top of that. And so, and the price varies depending on how big of screen that you want to get, you know, wow. anywhere from another $200 to $300 up to another $2,000, you know,
yeah.
just depends on what you want.
So you could end up with $2,500.
Oh, easy.
And maybe $3,000. in the deal. The only people who can afford that are in the lawn business.
I don't have one yet.
I know it's a matter of time, though.
But another thing that they were doing, which was cool, this time of year, you know, they're running so much water out of Truman and through Lake of the Ozarks, and you get along the bluffs, and you have little pockets and current breaks, and a lot of fish will stack up in those this time of year. And it's a great place to catch crappie, white bass, largemouth bass, anything will get in those because bait, you know, the bait, shad, are not real strong swimmers, so they get into those little pockets and current breaks. Well, they would just use the life scope to trolling down the bluff until they'd see a pocket of fish, and then they'd stop and fish it. And it was just no waste of time, and I guess just had a ball. Oh, they had 1 8-pound hybrid and several white bass. I guess just an absolute ball.
Wow. Phenomenal. I talked to some humans, and not too many good humans left, but I talked to a human out the other day. I had a 64-pound blue on a rod and reel.
Wow.
In the Missouri River.
Is that right?
Now, I think he's a straight shooter. You know, that regardless, it was a big fish.
That is a horse.
You know, that is a horse. And they had a 40-some. You know, if this water would ever go down. They're still running 70,000 cubic feet a second out of Gavin's.
But yes, they are.
If this water would ever go down, I think the fishing, especially next spring, surely they'll have it down by then. But it should just, on these Missouri River chain, is just going to be phenomenal.
Is there still the catfish tournament coming up?
Yeah. In fact, I'm glad you mentioned that because I've got it here on my formerly nicotine-stained fingers. It is the tournament. You get mandatory meeting August the 9th. The tournament's the 10th and 11th. Starts at 7 p.m. So you're fishing all night. Weigh-in is August the 11th. If our listeners, if you've never been to this weigh-in, this is something to see. This is, you just can't believe there's that kind of fish in that river out there on the deal. But here's where you come in. If 5 catfish are caught during the tournament weighing 225 pounds or more, one lucky participant can win a Silverado pickup truck.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool.
Plus, they're guaranteeing $15,000 in cash. Mm-hmm. Now, there's going to be boats in here from Alabama, Mississippi, Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, all over the Midwest, all across the United States fishing this tournament. So this thing has gotten too big, maybe. I don't know if you can get them too big, but this can get real serious real quick.
I would think there's going to be some challenges with all of the water that they're running, and it'll be interesting to see how they do.
Yeah. Allegedly, maybe, they might shut that Gavin's Point down to 45,000, but that's just a vicious rumor running around. I don't have anything to back that up. I just hear it from time to time.
It's just incredible that they've been running that much water for as long as they've been doing it. It's been a couple of months now.
Yeah.
That's an incredible amount of water.
Well, March the 17th, it basically started.
Wow.
And that's when we had 7 foot in our duck cabin, and it's just been there all the way through. Now, we planted corn, you know, and got some of it. Shouldn't have planted corn. It was still too muddy. But it is coming down just a little bit.
Really?
I talked to the guy, Marty Marks, that runs Bob Brown. That place is devastated. The pumps, they didn't get the pumps out right before the flood, but it's going to be nothing this fall up there. No flooded corn, no nothing to hold the mallards on the deal. So it's going to be a tough, tough, long ducks. I think the ducks will blow through here in 2 weeks. That'll be the end of duck season, basically. The teal season, which is coming up not too far down the road, September 7th, I believe, they'll be so scattered. There's so many pockets of water all over the river bottom, all the way from Omaha to Columbia, Missouri, you know, and so they're going to scatter out the teal. If you see a teal, it'll be a blessing, you know, type thing. So it's just, I don't know, you know, and then a lot of them places that have the public dove hunting couldn't get their seed in the ground, you know, it was just too muddy. It's going to be a strange year. You know, with all that said, I'm underneath the planter digging it out, and I hear pheasants crowing like crazy. So they're still mating. And then as I was talking to Marty yesterday up there on 159 Highway, a rooster and a hen walked right across the road in front of us, about 20 yards. Good thing he was there. Well, I see we've got some calls in on the phone already. If you'd like to join us on the air, got Dr. Jim Sparks of Eagle Animal Hospital and Pet Resort up here on Riverside Road. We'll give you some phone numbers and ways to get a hold of this human. In a way, we are brought to you by my favorite sponsor, my good friend Terry Lee, Highway Trailer Sales Incorporated up here. They are located at 1850 Southern Road. That's just west of Worlds of Fun. Got a frog in my throat this morning. 1850 Southern Road, just west of Worlds of Fun. If you guys are hauling 18-wheelers, and a lot of guys are hauling the wheat already, some of those guys are even done, but you're going to fill contracts with soybeans and corn. A lot of times your trailers get broken leaf springs. They get lights that don't work, bearings that go out. These are the guys that you need to talk to. They got 10 service bay up there. Time is money. They know that. They do it professionally. They do it right the first time. So if your trailer's in need of disrepair, maybe has a bimp in it, go by and see Terry, one of the nicest humans I've ever met in my entire life. I talked to him for 10 minutes and it felt like I'd known him for 20 years. We did this whole radio show on a handshake. I've never had a contract with him. That's what kind of guy you're dealing with. So 1850 Southern Road, right here in North Kansas City, right across from Worlds of Fun. And there is a catch to this. Tell him that you heard it here on WHB. Got to take a little break. We'll be right back with you.
Well, you just got to listen to the music, or you got to welcome us back?
Oh, I think we'll just listen to music. It's more entertaining.
Good music.
Those three listeners. Yeah, they don't deserve any better than this. You know, this is good.
Chris Bullig running the show. Thank you, sir. You do a great job.
Chris is talented, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Ambidextrous, as we say. One thing I failed to mention, this is a Catfish Chasers Tournament Series. So if you log on, it's a Catfish Chasers Tournament Series, and it's based out of St. Joe, Missouri. Probably 150, maybe 200 boats will show up for this thing. And it is sponsored by the finest human to walk upright, and that's Reed Chevrolet.
No, oh, you got that right.
Yeah. I ran to a lady the other day that bought a car there. She had the most professional car dealership she'd ever dealt with. Isn't that good?
Yeah, I mean, that's a ringing endorsement right there. But that's the way it is. I mean, it's really, it's such a, and I know this from experience. My son and I went up there. My son bought a pickup truck up there. And the hardest thing for him to do was just pick out the truck that he wanted.
Yeah.
But the salesman, Dwayne, he was just great. We sat there for 2.5 hours and talked about nothing but fishing.
Yeah. He's all right. You know, what the heck.
But,
they got a 2020 in the other day, brand new one. It's a 3/4 ton gasser, but a black one. But you want a moment alone with it. I mean, it's orgasmic. It's quite a pickup truck. They're just great people. You know, people come from Des Moines and Omaha and Council Bluffs and Columbia, Missouri and Butler, Missouri and Springfield up there to buy pickup trucks. Duh.
Well, price number one. But, you know, I don't know that there's anybody else that has non-commissioned salespeople.
I don't know.
And it's just such a pleasant experience.
It is.
They
it
don't
is.
Have any pressure on them
they
to sell a vehicle, so there's no pressure put on you.
In the studio here, we have Dr. Jim Sparks, DVM, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine. He's looking at my stitches and oohing and awing over my stitches I've got in my hand. He said, Danny did a good job sewing you up. This is Eagle Animal Hospital. Again, they're located at 4825 Northwest Gateway in Riverside, Missouri. A phone number of 816-741-2345. Pretty easy number to remember. 816-741-2345. And we've already got some calls, and Ben is on the phone. But if you would like to talk to the vet, my goodness, there's no finer time. This is the best vet in the United States of America, by the way. He ranks. He's higher ranked than you are. You're down to 20-something in fishing. He's still number one.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and he's and a Missouri graduate.
And still number one?
Still number one.
That's even
more
Missouri
shocking. Tigers would be 12-0. Chris shook his head no. Come on, Chris. Come on. Cut in here.
They'll be good. They have a pretty pretty favorable schedule, but I don't think they're going to go
10-2.
Unfortunately.
10-2? 10-2?
Maybe. I'm probably going to go 9-3, but I think they can possibly sneak out 10 wins.
Wow. They got to play Alabama, though, don't they? Didn't the road go through Alabama on all these, isn't it? I mean,
normally
the road goes through. Ben, how you doing this morning? We got some. If you don't join us on the air, it's 913-3810-810. If you want to talk about your pesky dog, Ben, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Wishing I was fishing, but.
Yeah, me too. I've been out here hauling crude oil since about 2 o'clock this morning in the oil patch.
Oh, ouch. That's too early.
Beat the heat.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question. My wife and I, we got a 10-week-old male German Shepherd, and we took him to the vet yesterday for a second round of shots, and the vet's concerned his testicles have not dropped yet. And so the vet's concerned about that, that they probably should have dropped by now. And she's talking about if we bring it back next month, if they haven't dropped yet, talking about going in there and neutering. We really don't want to do the kind of potty as a stud. So I don't know, you know, how big a concern it is or how long we need to wait before it gets to be a big concern.
Yeah, well, when they don't descend like that, usually they're going to descend by at least 6 weeks of age. And if they don't descend, there's two things at play. You know, that's the genetic fault, basically. And so that's something you want to take out of the genetic pool if they don't drop by the 4 months of age. The other thing is that testicle that's in the abdomen has about an 80% chance of developing what we call a Sertoli cell tumor, which will be a bad deal.
Yeah.
So I would agree that if they're not down by 4 months, you know, it takes years for those tumors to develop. So if you get them neutered by the time he's a year old, you'll still be all right. But, yeah, that's a bad deal, especially if you bought him for stud purposes.
Yeah. I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
Is it common?
More common than we want it to be. But, I've probably come across it once or twice a month.
Oh, wow. That often?
Wow. Well, man, hang on there. That dog will be all right. I just feel good about him. If he was here, I could lay my hands on him. We could cure him.
Yeah, we've had some interesting jokes around the house. So he's got his ears up. Now he just needs to get something else down. He'll be all right.
How big a dog is this going to be?
Oh, he'll be about 100, 105, 110.
Really?
Pounds.
Big dog.
Eats a lot of groceries.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's 25 pounds for 10 weeks. So.
Wow.
He is going to be a big one.
He's going to be a dandy. And so did you breed him buy him for the breeding purposes of this?
Well, we've had German Shepherds. We've been married 25 years and had Shepherds the whole time. And our best male, his name was Diesel. We lost him at 10 years old about a year and a half ago. We finally broke down and got us a new pup. About 4 weeks ago, he was 6 weeks old when I got him.
So. Well, I wish you nothing but luck. Again, though, I can lay my hands on him. I think I could cure this dog. So bring him by the studio. I'll pet him. We'll get him straightened out. Thanks for the call, Ben.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Drive careful.
So that's that's not prevalent, but you do see it. Though,
quite a bit, yep. And larger breed dogs more so than smaller breeds.
Is it? It's genetics?
It is a genetic fault, yep. There's a genetic link to those testicles not falling down.
Wow. I've never heard of such a deal.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
You learn something every day, especially if you listen to this radio show.
Yeah. Some information maybe we didn't need, but... there is a lot of jokes that could be made. I'm just going to bite my tongue, steer clear of that.
Yeah.
Jim,
I sure got one.
Is it true? I heard that a German Shepherd can run like up to 10 miles without stopping.
Oh, they're pretty athletic and endurance dogs. They're called a working breed for a reason. You know, my wife Piper loves German Shepherds. She had a couple of those before she got me, so I know where I stand at home.
Yeah, right.
She trained you too. Huh?
That's right. I say I'm a rescue husband. She pulled me off the streets.
Some refer to you as a mutt.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely a mixed breed.
But if you've had a dog like that, I don't know if it's high energy or what I would call it, but is it important, if it's a house dog, should you take them out and let them exercise? And if so, how much?
Oh, absolutely. The more you can exercise them, the better. The happiest dog's a tired dog. And so they get in less trouble, and they're going to be a lot healthier if they just get out and run. Even if that's going for a walk around the block for the smaller dogs. And, you know, our sporting breeds, they really need to get out and stretch those legs out. You know, running for 20, 30 minutes is going to make them a whole lot happier and healthier.
Yeah, Mark, we talked about this briefly before, but Dr. Jim here took the time to give me the tour of your facilities up there. Tell the listener, I mean, what this thing is it what I'd classify as state-of-the-art?
Oh, absolutely. We rebuilt the hospital. The practice has been there for about 74 years now, but we rebuilt it in 2015. Yeah, and there's probably nothing quite like it in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Because we got, you know, we got CT scanning, we got ultrasound, we got laparoscopic surgery.
This is a veterinarian hospital. Yep. It sounds like a human hospital.
It is decked out.
Wow. Yep.
And I maybe it's putting you on the spot, but how much money is involved? Or you got a lot of money, don't you?
Yeah. When I bought the practice from Dr. Noyes, I think it was about $300 worth of lab equipment. And now, not including the CT and ultrasound, we probably got $500,000 invested in.
Ouch. That's some overhead.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. It's a beautiful facility, though.
Yeah, we churn it out just because we got seven doctors, and, you know, north of the river's grown a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it got a great staff, too. It got me
good people.
They got me giggling while I was in there, you know. Especially that one girl. I should have got her name. She was funny. But boy, I tell you what, that's quite a facility. I guess I just walked around with my mouth open as usual, and it was just, you just can't believe what you're seeing. You know, it's just that cool.
ICUs for dogs and cats, and, you know, surgery room that is just big, beautiful MU mural on the back wall.
Yeah, it's something to say. It really, really is. What's the big rub right now? It seems like I hear things. Of series of health problems in dogs. Maybe I just catch the tail end of it, but what are you seeing more of right now?
You know, biggest thing is this time of year with weather we've had, mosquitoes are going to be a big problem, which is going to be a big heartworm problem.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's new that's out now is a once-a-year injection to prevent heartworms.
Cool.
And so for those of us that aren't good at giving those pills every single day, you know, the veterinarian can give you a shot once a year and you're done.
Maybe we get Mark straightened out a little bit.
Yeah, I'd much rather do that. I don't like shots, but just once a day instead of a pill a day, that's...
Yeah. Hey, we are brought to you by King City Lumber Company. If you've not been to this fantastic facilities, if you've not seen this guy, their website, there's nobody any better than King City Lumber. If you need an outbuilding and you lost yours during a flood, which a lot of us did, the only people to have it rebuilt at King City Lumber, they're first-rate lumber guys. First-rate carpenters, master carpenters. They're unbelievable. I can't say enough good things about it. I've known them guys for a lot of years, and they are fantastic. So if you are going to have a building, maybe a garage put on the back of your property or build something somewhere, hay barn or whatever, kingcitylumber.com. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Take a little break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. In the studio with me, the best veterinarian in the United States of America, Dr. Jim Sparks. Did you know you was the best veterinarian in America?
That is news to me right now. Yeah.
And here I'm blessed with the best fisherman in America. I got
just surrounded by greatness.
I don't know. You bask in your aura is all I'm going to do on the deal. That facilities you got, again, I go back to that, but it's just phenomenal. And I know you don't give tours, but...
No, sure. The only thing better than building your dream practice is showing it off so everybody can be walked around. Absolutely.
You're out kicking around someday, Mark, you ought to just run in there because it is absolutely a phenomenal facility.
Sounds incredible.
Walk right in the front door, and we got a 1,000-gallon saltwater fish tank out there. And
nice. It's
something to see. It really, really is. You know, here's the heat. This is the reason me and Mark both talked about having you on the show this Saturday. Heat on these dogs right now. It's 98 degrees in the daytime, and you got a fur coat on. You're laying out in the sun. Or, you know, this is pretty devastating on dogs.
It's tough on them, especially if they get worked up. Problem is once a dog gets to running or, you know, out and exercising, that heat will sneak up on them real quick. especially when the humidity is bad like this, because other than their paws and panting over their tongue, they just can't cool themselves down.
My co-host is like that, too. Yeah. He can't cool himself down.
Tongue hangs out.
Yeah.
A drool all over the place.
What are the signs? Were you listening for something? Are you seeing something? What, they get lethargic? What happens?
Yeah. Well, early on, what you're going to see is just panting real hard and heavy, and they'll just lay down. If you see a dog sitting on the ground and just panting with its tongue hanging out, time to get them in and cool them down. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to douse them in cold water, because that'll cause a bunch of vasoconstriction and actually have the opposite effect. So what we want to do is, you know, get them inside of a cool place, put like a moist towel over the top of them, or you can even spray like rubbing alcohol on the pads of the feet, because you want to cool them down, but you don't want to do it too fast.
Mm. What's the rubbing alcohol on the bottom of the feet do?
It evaporates real quick and really cools those pads down, okay. And those pads are pretty vascular.
You know, and you think about a dog walking on asphalt. You know, you see a lot of people walking their dog on the sidewalk or on the asphalt on the thing. You know, we have, you know, usually some kind of shoe on to help dissipate the heat. Them poor dogs don't.
No. I tell people, put your hand on the asphalt. If you can't hold it there for 5 seconds, don't expect your dog to walk on it.
Yeah.
What about dogs that have thick fur? I see some people that'll shave them during the summer. Is that advisable?
You know, it depends on if they got like a light guard hair coat. Sometimes that acts like an umbrella over the top of them and actually insulates them from the heat.
Oh, wow.
Because the sun doesn't get through to them. Now, if you got a double coated dog, yeah, it's going to be better to shave them.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is this, I guess you're going to see a lot of scratching, itching, redness on the dog, skin coming clear off almost sometimes.
With the weather we've been having, it's been one of the worst allergy years I've seen. And dogs manifest their allergies through their skin rather than their respiratory tract. So it's a scratching and itching and pretty miserable.
Huh. You went to vet school at Missouri, huh?
Sure did.
You don't think we're going to be 12-0?
No, I'm a Missouri guy. I've had my heart yanked out so many times. Got to set the bar low so I don't get disappointed again.
I'm still mad about the play at Nebraska where they kicked the ball in the end zone.
I was there for that.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was at that game.
I think in the rule book it says you cannot advance a ball off your foot. You know, it's dead on. Yeah, I don't know. I guess they changed the rules for that game. But then at Colorado, we got the fifth down.
Right. My wife was at that game.
We're seeing a disturbing pattern here.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't catch a break.
I think Jim should stay away from Missouri games.
Yeah, really. I did get to go to the Missouri game when Pizarkowitz came off. This is how old I am. Pizarkowitz came off the bench, and I think Nebraska was favored by 36, and we beat them up there at Nebraska. And, boy, I tell you what, it was mad upset people over that thing, and I was happy
to be. They take it serious up there.
I was hanging out in Lincoln a lot at that time, and, boy, didn't want to took that MU shirt off real quick. You get a knot on top of your head. Them boys were vicious on the deal. So, you bring a dog in to your clinic, and I'm a big advocate of, you know, dove season just around the corner, 30,
absolutely.
40 days away, dog. All of a sudden he has to get out of his kennel and perform like a circus dog. You know, he's got to go on this thing. Preseason checkup, I assume that would be a good plan.
Absolutely. Getting the preventative health care done before season, get the protection, because they're going to get exposed to a lot of things out in the field, especially like during dove season and even teal season when all the critters and bugs and everything are still out. So getting them tuned up and on the right preventative is going to be pretty important to make sure you keep your dog tuned up.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is a lot of people just want to get them out of the kennel or off the couch and go out and run them for 2 days. They need to build up to it.
Yeah, like a human.
You absolutely.
Get in condition and go after it. If I bring my noble steed into your vet for the checkup, I mean, I throw him up on the table. How do you go about this? What do you do?
You're just like when we go to the doctor, I'm going to look at the teeth. Oral health is so important for dogs nowadays. And, talk a little bit about diet, too, because in my practice career, the life expectancy of a dog has grown by about 20%.
Wow.
And that's a big number. And it's mostly due, in my opinion, to better food, better nutrition, and oral health care. We didn't realize how much those, you know, rotten teeth were causing problems. So we'll look all that over. We're going to listen to the chest. You know, dogs are just like people. Get heart murmurs and heart disease. We're looking for lumps and bumps on the skin, making sure everything's trimmed up as far as the nails, eyes and ears. You know, ears are another problem with allergy dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just want to make sure everything looks good. And sometimes if they are a little bit past their prime, then we're going to want to look at some blood work just like they do for us when we get older.
Wow.
You're talking about ears. Have you ever heard of a dog that eats with its ears?
No, I can't say that I have.
Well, actually, they all do because they can't take them off. I'm sorry.
It's too early, Mark.
Stick to mowing grass.
Yeah.
Stick. You're never going to make it a stand-up. I guarantee you that. Oh, man. Cook on all day. I don't know.
Should you feed dogs bones?
It's not advisable. A lot of times what happens if they chew them up real fine, then they can almost turn like cement in the colon.
You know,
get blocked up. Now, you know, you hear some stories about chicken bones and things being bad. The stomach is really pretty good at degrading and making that pliable and move through. But, you know, it's just not a good idea.
So how do you take care of their teeth?
Uh-huh. There's all kinds of dental treats out there right now. There's things you can put in the water to help maintain it. Some of the dental treats can make a big difference. We have one that's called Orivet, and then over-the-counter, Greenies are really good. I mean, those do help.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah,
you know, I'm used to be the old boys would give your dog a chew of Red Man, throw it down his throat, and that'd worm him, and that's the end of the story. You know, and he'd run for long and he'd die. You know, that's about all it amounted to. But now,
Some of the old things I used to hear about people doing, putting used motor oil on them, take care of mange.
Oh yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, my buddies all had pack of running dogs. And I heard everything that you just can't imagine. Some of the treatments they gave those poor dogs.
Yep.
What about a dog going deaf? I mean, is that just a sign of old age, or can they have it early? Can they get an ear mite?
Well, ear mites and ear infection usually are not going to make them go deaf unless they're really left unattended. Most dogs start losing their hearing somewhere between 8 and 10 years of age, but they hear such a broader range than you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lose that really high pitch that we're probably not out of hearing and the low pitch first. And so then when they get into losing the hearing in an audible range that we can hear, it seems like it happens all at one time. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's been going on for a while. We're just able to notice it when it gets into our range of hearing.
Mm-hmm. My co-host is like that. He's starting to...
What?
Huh? Fade out. Some days on the deal. I had a run around with an old guy. He's dead and gone. He was a great veterinary, great guy. And every time I ever took the dog around, the first thing he did was look at his gums.
Yep.
But what's that telling him? What's going on?
Well, you know, you can learn a lot from the color of the gums. Make sure, you know, they're not anemic and make sure that their heart's beating well and perfusing their tissues well. And probably more than anything else, us veterinarians are always guilty of looking at the teeth.
Uh-huh. Anemic. I mean, is that a sign of bad dog food?
No, not necessarily. I think all the dog foods that are commercially available are going to have enough iron to keep them from getting anemic that way. But there's a lot of diseases out there, you know, some tick-borne diseases, immune-mediated hemolytic anemia. That's where the body starts killing its own red blood cells. So there's a number of ways, and it can be chronic blood loss in the intestines from worms. So a lot of things can cause them to get anemic. So
my nephew just got a little German Shepherd puppy. It was a rescue puppy, and it's full of fleas.
Yeah.
What is the best way to get rid of fleas?
I think the best thing out there right now is called NexGard. It's a once a month pill. It only affects the muscarinic receptors and insects only, so it has virtually no mammalian toxicity. You don't have to worry about it washing off. You don't have to worry about, did I apply it right? The dog just eats it right out of your hand.
Interesting.
What is it? What was it?
NexGard. N-E-X.
You know, I've heard of that somewhere in my travels. I don't know where. But
you know, there's another one out there called Bravecto that's preventative that's orally. Those have just been proven to work better than anything else out there. You know, there's still some good topicals out there. Frontline Advantage for fleas. Those still work pretty well, but they're not quite up to snuff with the orals.
Hmm. Well, I tell you, and me and you have talked off the air, you know, in a lot of ways, I grew up with hunting dogs and things. We were a tool.
Right.
And now you grow up with, he's part of the family. Yep. And the emotional bonding. And you were telling me about it, this big Marine that came in there and he had to put the dog down. And he cried like a baby.
Absolutely.
You know, it is an amazing thing in a deal.
When you're not looking, they'll steal your heart.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Mark's done that to me. If he ever goes, I don't know what I'll do. You know?
Have you, Jim, have you seen some dogs eat their urine will kill spots in grass?
Oh, yeah. That's real common.
Have you heard the home remedy of putting tomato juice in with their food?
Yeah, but there's, you know, the problem with it, the healthy urine is very acidic, so it's going to kill the grass. There's all kinds of things that you can do, but anytime you're going to raise that pH or make it less acidic, you're also going to predispose the dog to urinary tract infections, bladder stones, and some other things, too. You know, one of the things that I've been successful with, and you probably know more about this than I do, but I'll put down gypsum at twice the recommended rate just to try to neutralize that urine.
But do you have to do that after each time that the dog goes?
No, I broadcast spread it twice, two or three times a year, actually.
And that works for you?
Yeah.
So, but other than that, just try to limit the area that the dog goes.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're trading one problem for another.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Mm.
Hip dysplasia. Mm-hmm. This was a big, big, major topic a few years back. I don't hear as much about it as I used to. Am I out of the loop or what?
No, it's still pretty prevalent out there. But with OFA, which stands for Orthopedic Foundation for Animals, we've been able to evaluate hips. And the breeding dogs, we all want them to have that certification from OFA. And so what we're trying to do is improve the genetic pool. And I think they've made some pretty good strides with that. So it's not like it was 20 years ago, but we still see a lot of it, especially in our sporting breeds.
Yeah. Parvo, is day in the sun come and gone on it, or is it still, still see it?
It's prevalent. We know that virus lives for, 10, 15 years in the soil. So any unprotected dog is going to get it. Now, there's a baseline immunity in everybody, and the mama dog's going to pass some immunity along. But still, those vaccinations are real important to prevent that. Parvo, distemper.
Is parvo fatal?
Oh, when it first broke back in the late 70s and early 80s, yes, I was in the profession then. I wasn't a vet yet. But, we'd save about half of them. Now I'm going to tell you we saved closer to 75-80% of them.
Is it a 48 hours you better have the dog to the vet type thing?
Oh, it's more like about 8 to 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
Vomiting and diarrhea that you just get real lethargic. That's a virus, so we just got to support them while the body takes care of it.
Mm-hmm. Heartworms was a big norm or there for a while. Everybody was, and back when I first learned about it, it was basically pretty well a death sentence.
Yeah.
I remember them guys shooting arsenic.
Yep, an arsenic derivative called caparsley. We used to give it IV.
Yeah, straight into the blood. Mm-hmm. It would kill them, wouldn't it?
Well, anytime you're trying to kill a worm inside of a living thing's heart, you're going to be playing with fire.
Mm-hmm.
But the drugs we have now are much safer.
And that drug, does it kind of work gradually?
That's exactly right. You don't want to kill them too fast because then you got these worms breaking off and causing emboli or, clots in the lungs.
Another thing that's going on, and we're talking about hip dysplasia, they replace hips. You guys do it up there, don't you?
No, we don't get into that high end orthopedic. We do have a residency trained surgeon on staff can do, rebuild knees and do some hip, but she's not going to replace hips. But still think University of Missouri is where I send most of those.
Is it? I tell you, I can talk dogs for about 2 weeks. Their health and their health care and all that stuff.
I've been doing it for 40 years, and I'm still excited about it.
I would think so. I think it'd be pretty cool, And I think it'd be pretty rewarding at times, too.
Oh, very much so. Yep.
You got a dog on the brink, and you bring him back to health.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
My best reward is that tail wagging as I go out the door.
I'll bet that's absolutely right.
Jim, last time we had you on, I had some people talk to me. They were really surprised to hear how little food that you recommend to feed.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've got a brother-in-law that is as guilty as anybody of killing his dog with kindness. I mean, he is way overfeeds that dog. He's got a lab, and it is way overweight. and he just can't help himself. You know, the dog will eat as much food as he will give him, and he gives them table food, he gives them dog food, he gives them whatever they're eating, and it just doesn't seem right. Can you talk a little bit about the right way to feed your animal?
Absolutely. Now, a lot of times people will quote what the bag says. You know, well, the bag says to feed this much. Well, remember, that bag is put together by somebody that's selling dog food.
Yeah,
so they're going to recommend the highest amount they think they can get away with. And, you know, so if it's a dog that's, you know, out running agility or whatever type of trials, yeah, it's probably going to need that top number. But for your average house dog and the dog that's not in season, running in season, you know, like I got 80-pound shepherds, German shepherds at home, and both of them get one cup twice a day.
Well, that doesn't seem like much.
It doesn't.
It doesn't, does it?
Yeah,
the foods are just
like
so dense and so good for them now. They're just, they're nutrient dense. And so we, you know, back in the day of the old dog chows, you know, you take 3 or 4 cups twice a day.
So it's not like Fred, eat till you're full, and then because the dog won't get full.
What?
No, they don't get full.
They're professional mooches.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you sit there at the supper table, if he happened to be in the house, well, we generally put him out during supper, but they just sit there and stare at you.
Right, and drool.
And they drool, and you feel sorry for them, and you think you ought to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can't
do
that.
That's what we tell people. Your average Labrador is only hungry when the sun's out or the moon's up.
Yeah, right.
That's true. You know, and that look they give you, heck, you know, just melts your heart.
Oh, those big brown eyes can
unbelievable.
Make you do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So what about people food?
Yeah, just a no-go right there. You know, the foods we're feeding now are so well-balanced. If you start adding things to it, then you give them little goodies here or off the plate, you're going to disrupt that balance. And the GI tract is kind of like the rest of the body. You know, we start giving it something different, it doesn't know how to react. You know, when I was a kid, our dogs used to get all kinds of garbage from the plate and everything else. So their GI tracts became accustomed to it. The analogy I always give is that, you know, if I wanted to go out and run a 10K right now without warming up or without training myself, I'm going to be hurting pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And their GI tract's the same way. It's not conditioned to handle that kind of stuff anymore. We have really dumbed down the GI tracts with these good, highly digestible foods.
Do you have a food that you like in particular?
You know, pinnacle food for me is Royal Canin. You know, Hills or Science Diet still up there. Iams is probably what I recommend more than anything else because it's, you know, it's good value. It's available everywhere.
Yeah, good value and available everywhere. Mm-hmm. During the hunting season, should a guy go to a higher protein?
Yeah. Yeah. If the dog's going, you know, if you're a weekend Royer, you know, twice a month or something like that, no, probably not. Just as regular food would be fine. But, you know, when you got the dogs out running all day, a little bit of supplement, you know, whether you take a can of food with you, give them to at lunch while you're eating, you know, they're no different than us. They're going to burn a lot of calories out there.
Well, one of the other questions is hookworms, still as prevalent as ever.
Yeah. Hookworms, whipworms, and roundworms, diagnose them every day.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
And the cure for that is?
Pretty easy now. It's an oral dewormers, and we're done with it. Most of the good heartworm preventatives, you know, I mentioned the once-a-year shot that's coming up. It won't do a whole lot for the worms, but most of our heartworm preventatives are a dewormer for hookworms, whipworms, and roundworms.
Wow. Boy, it's come so far.
It has.
And I hate that. In the last 10 years, I think.
The last 10 to 15 years is when I used to take care of a lot of backyard dogs and kids' pets, but now we take care of family members.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you need the best vet in America. This is him. It's Jim Sparks, Eagle Animal Hospital and Pet Resort, 4825 Northwest Gateway, Riverside, Missouri, 816-741-2345. Or go to eagleanimalhospital.com, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. So maybe we can get Mark in there and you give him a checkup today.
Yeah. I need to see if I've got worms.
You see if you got worms?
Mm-hmm.
You might have worms.
I might need to go get some. Catch some walleye.
Yeah. Right. Wrong kind of worm, Tobin. You will. So what the heck. Jim, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. And, enjoy it as always.
Wealth of information.
Oh my goodness.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I love talking to vets. I bet they think I just ask the stupidest questions, and they look at me like, like that dog yeah, on the RCA Victor. They tip their head back and forth on the deal. So hey, I don't know.
Before we go, I got to wish my lovely wife a happy anniversary today.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, congratulations.
34 years.
Same woman.
Same woman. And I'm living with me for 34 years has been a challenge, but she doesn't complain very much. So
good.
Happy
good
anniversary, hon. Love you.
Also, we forgot to, and we didn't forget, we better go buy a Jackson kayak today.
Yeah, you know, the waters are still high, and those kayaks, they are just getting crazy popular right now.
Yeah,
and,
unbelievable.
But the Jackson, if you're looking for one, that's the one. It's
that's
the most stable, and they've got so many accessories. They got some that you can pedal, some that you can put a trolling motor on. Battery only weighs 5 pounds on that. For that trolling motor.
Sportsman's Outfitter and Marine.
Yeah, down there in Bell. Great bunch of people. And if you need your boat worked on, that's the place to do it.
Dr. Jim, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in a great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.